What's up, Beardos? You're listening to episode 227 of The Bearded Vegans.
Basically, our whole philosophy boils down to don't be a jerk.
Don't answer a question first try. Not answering your question. I really hope people didn't tune in to hear us talking about beards.
Beards.
What does that mean, Paul?
The big beans and the big brown red bowl. Red bowl.
Who knows, Andy? I don't know.
Welcome to the show. I'm Paul.
And I'm Andy.
And we are The Bearded Vegans, a podcast featuring a dissection of all things vegan.
If you're just tuning in for the first time, you can find all of our previous episodes at thebeardedvegans.com, and you can always reach us by emailing thebeardedvegans@gmail.com.
In today's mini-episode, we're going to review Running for Good.
That's right, Paul. It's movie review time because it's a very short window between when we last recorded and I was talking about how I was finally starting to feel better from potentially the COVID-19. So first off, thank you to everybody for the well wishes and just such kind messages we received off of that episode. But as we sort of like recollect ourselves and get back on track, we thought it would be really fun to do a film review. And we've gotten a lot of requests for this one recently, even though it's not a super new documentary, but we figured, hey, let's knock this one out. We've been wanting to do it for a while.
Yeah, Andy, even though it's not a new documentary, I feel like very recently a few people have asked us to do it. So I'm going to consider it timely because we're doing it in the time frame of a couple weeks after people asked us to do it.
I mean, people were definitely asking when it first came out and it was on our list and somehow it just kind of like slipped away. And I'm glad we're going to do it. It's a nice, short, sweet hour and 14 minutes. Probably still a little too long for Paul, but a very easy to swallow, easy to digest, triumphant thing to watch in these trying times.
For sure. Very triumphant. But Andy, so before we get into that, a couple of announcements. First of all, you know, this is episode 227. So episode 230 right around the corner, that's going to be the mailbag episode. And so get in those mailbag questions and submissions while you still can. And then something from the corrections department, Andy. So I think a couple people have either messaged or emailed us after last week's Bill Maher episode being like, is Bill Maher on the board of PETA, as I possibly incorrectly stated in last week's episode? And so I was pulling that information from Wikipedia, which Andy, I tend to trust Wikipedia because they usually cite their sources. And they actually did cite that reference. They had a reference, I should say, for that statement. And the reference was an Us Weekly article seemingly written by Bill Maher that was like 25 facts you didn't know about Bill Maher, and they were all I statements, so that leads me to believe that Bill Maher himself wrote these. And I think it was like the first or second one was that statement, I've been on the board of PETA since 1997 or whatever it was. But as a few people have correctly pointed out, Andy, if you go to the PETA website, it seems like PETA has only had three board members for some time. And he is not one of them, in fact.
Yeah. And so, Paul, I naively took your word for it.
Never do
but
that.
I did then dig a little further. And I found an article on PETA's website from 2012 stating, and this is coming directly from PETA, that he's an honorary board member. So that is a board member that doesn't actually have voting rights and perhaps is consulted, or, you know, I'm kind of curious. I would assume in the case of celebrities, it's just kind of like a clout thing more than in a thing that they're like, we need Bill Maher's opinion on this, unless they're like, how can we be incredibly controversial and insensitive towards marginalized people? So in that regard, it does check out, but thought it would be good to issue a little slight correction on that he's not like a voting board member of PETA.
Yes. So thank you to those people that have informed us about that.
Yes. And if you do want to send in those mailbag questions, you can just send them to thebeardedvegans@gmail.com.
Oh, I omitted that. Thank you for bringing that breaking correction to my earlier error.
Mid-episode correction. Even though we list the email in the intro of every show, a lot of people do miss it. So,
all right, Andy. So let's get into our review of Running for Good.
Slightly before my teenage years, I developed a problem. I was in and out of hospital, studying operations. I was told I wouldn't walk again properly, let alone be able to do sporting activities, especially things like running. I was going to be registered disabled at one point because it looked so hopeless. That was an incredibly challenging time. I definitely know what it's like to suffer myself, so I can relate to it with other beings, whether they be human or not.
Running for Good is a film that's been out for a couple of years now. It's streaming on all the, you know, VOD platforms. Right now it is free, quote unquote, free on Prime. So if you have that, it's probably your easiest way to watch it, but you can find it on any number of platforms. So, Paul, I think for this discussion, we'll have a general thought section, then we'll have a nitty-gritty section. There's not really much to spoil, per se, because this is all a matter of it's easily findable public record. Anything that you see in this documentary, you'll actually read in Fiona's Wikipedia page. But I think we can still do a general recommendation section and then get into the nitty-gritty of it. Sound good to you?
And not just public record, Andy, world record.
It's true. World record of the Guinness variety. So the plot synopsis is from executive producer James Cromwell and award-winning director Keegan-Coon comes Running for Good, the feature-length sports documentary following world record marathon runner Fiona Oakes in her attempt to not only set a new global world record in endurance racing, but to compete in the, quote, toughest foot race on earth, the Marathon des Sables, a 250-kilometer race through the Sahara Desert. So, Paul, This documentary is, I would say, a very straightforward, singular focus on Fiona Oakes, and the general narrative arc is Fiona doing this incredibly grueling foot race. my mind can't even wrap my head around how horrific and brutal it must be to do this race. And then kind of throughout the course of the documentary, throughout the course of documenting this race, kind of dotting in some history, some little sections on motivation and some other achievements that Fiona has had. And like you pointed out at the beginning of the show, a lot of people recommended this to us. Even now, people are still recommending this to us, even though it's been quite some time since it's been out. So my question is, how did you feel about this film and why did people recommend it to us?
Andy, I enjoyed this film. I think this film is like the triumph of the human spirit, one, and two, I think that this film is like, let's just highlight someone that's a really good person, or like at least from what they've shown in the film, because obviously it's like we're seeing one very specific perspective of this person, but what I would say is like, you know, a beautiful human, like let's just highlight this person who is an exemplary human being. And so maybe people, because certainly the tide of veganism is that Fiona is vegan and runs an animal sanctuary, and the whole purpose of her running these marathons is just to get a spotlight in order to bring awareness to these sorts of things. So it has this direct tie, but it's not, I would say, this is not a film that's going to make people go vegan, and I don't think that that's the purpose of the film either. I think the purpose of this film is literally just to highlight how wonderful this person is. And honestly, Andy, I think that's okay. You know, it's like not every single film has to be have some sort of agenda to it. And I don't think that's what this film did. So, Andy, maybe people recommended it because in these trying times, it's nice to just be like, wow, look at this person who is truly humble and selfless and just is always thinking about what she can do for other people, for other human and non-human animals. And so I don't know, maybe that's why people recommended it, because it certainly, Andy, I would say, is not going to make people go vegan.
To me, as I was watching it, I was like, this is very pleasant, but do I really have that much to say about this, which is essentially just a story of a foot race? And I do think that this film actually does touch on a lot of really interesting themes about advocacy and, you know, ways to get into conversations with people, ways to present things, how hard to push a certain message. And I would like to get into all of that. But as far as kind of like my general thoughts, I thought it was a really well put together film. I certainly would expect nothing less from Keegan Coon, you know, regardless of any issues we've had with What the Health, and I guess to a much lesser degree, like Cowspiracy, some of our nitpicks there. They were certainly films that were very well put together, very visually striking, and this is no departure from that. And obviously the backdrop of the Sahara Desert for this foot race is just absolutely stunning. I mean, I'd be really curious to see like a behind the scenes of how they actually captured that footage and getting from one location to another. And it seems like it would be grueling just for the people filming this thing. But I thought it was a really well done documentary. It doesn't overstay its welcome. It explains motivations for why someone would choose to put themselves through something like this, and does like a pretty good job of explaining just how horrible this particular race is, or how grueling, how taxing it is on the human body. And for that, I felt like it was a really just sort of easy breezy watch. Like you said, Paul, it is just, it's documenting someone that appears to be, and from I have so little knowledge of Fiona Oakes, but from what I've gathered and from what I've heard other people say about her, that she does seem to be a very like genuine human being, seems to be very humble and selfless, and does just seem to be like a good human being, which is kind of a nice change of pace for a lot of other people to get sort of propped up in this movement.
Yeah, Andy. And you know, another thing that I totally loved about this film is that despite being a film that focuses on athletics, it's not like a nutrition film. It's not a health film at all. You know, the only people that they include in this are really Fiona, her partner, and then, you know, they have Scott Jurek and Rich Roll in it. Maybe that's to get Andy. Maybe this film is for runners, you know, like they're trying to pull in the runner crowd into this one, but they don't go into like the health stuff that I feel as though this type of movie could have so easily gotten bogged down with.
Yeah. So I guess we should transition into the nitty gritty, but my overall assessment is, if you're interested in seeing a story about someone pushing their body to its limits to achieve an athletic performance, this is certainly a film worth watching. I think especially because the protagonist of this, Fiona Oakes, is just such a quirky, but also like humble, not braggadocious, just very head down, do the work type of person. At least that's what we get from this documentary. And for that, I would recommend it. It's super easy to watch. It's definitely not the thing that I'm like, this is the vegan maker. Like, you're going to sit your friends and family down and be like, yes, I am going to go vegan because of this. But I don't think that that means that this film has no value in terms of vegan activism, or at least like a plant-based diet activism. And I guess we could talk about like how it does that briefly, but yeah, I would say this film is probably not for everybody, but if this is a genre of film that interests you, I think you could do way worse. I think that there's a lot to really like about this film. I don't have any really major gripes with it, even though I have tons of nitpicks and little things to bring up with you that we can kind of, you know, go back and forth about. But overall, very competently made film, beautiful film. I didn't know anything about this particular foot race, and I'm in awe of anybody that completes it. So yeah, an easy watch, easy to recommend, but certainly not a vegan maker.
Andy, can I actually say something about, you were talking about what it says about advocacy, vegan advocacy. I feel like a big one benefit of this movie is possibly like, hey, all you kind of, you know,
cool cats and kittens,
cats and kittens, all these, you know, a lot of the mainstream vegan activists that we've talked about, some of whom seem to be, you know, more concerned with their own brand than actually pushing forward the vegan movement. Fiona seems to be like the opposite of that. Like, she seems to be someone who has the ability, and it's like super, literally seemingly superhuman ability to just be like, yeah, I don't really like running, but I'm going to go do this thing, I guess, next week, and then breaks a world record doing it. Like, that's the sort of thing that she does. It's like, but she has this ability. It's like, clearly she is special in this way, in this, you know, this niche community, but she doesn't, like, she doesn't do these things to promote herself. She does all these things to promote her cause. And I feel like this movie could be important for vegan advocates and activists to see, maybe to be like, this is how we should aspire to be. If we find that thing that I believe that we all have, you know, that we're like, we're really good at this thing, and I'm going to use this thing that I'm really good at to push forward the ethics and the morals that I want to push forward. It doesn't mean that you have to become this like rock star person, and you don't have to get this rock star famous attitude about it. You can just be a person who's using your abilities for good. So maybe in that sense, like, it is a good movie for people to see.
Yeah. Paul, my head is kind of reeling with like a million different directions that this conversation could go. And even the couple of sentences you just said, there's like all these little offshoots that I feel like I want to tackle. The first one, which I think will probably be pretty easy to talk about, is the idea that you said she feels kind of superhuman. And I think that the advocacy benefit of this is that they take a super low key approach. They only address it a few times. I think they really only say the word vegan like 2/3 of the way through. And that's when they have like that quick little section with Scott Jurek. But you know, it's taking that really low key, like, look at all this amazing stuff that this person is doing. Oh, and also, by the way, this person happens to be vegan. And I don't think that the film is promising if you go vegan or if you eat a plant-based diet, you will be able to also do this. And in fact, Fiona's partner, what was his name? Martin?
Martin, yeah.
He says, you know, basically the goal is to show people if this person can do it, can do 7 marathons on 7 continents in a world record breaking amount of time, surely that means that you can go to the grocery store and do your day-to-day activity on a plant-based diet. And like, mm-hmm. that's kind of as far as they push it. So I like that it wasn't really trying to say this is possible specifically because of her diet. With that being said, though, there's something about the fact that, as you said, she so kind of just like casually does these things and is like, what? Oh, I haven't trained. I've been sick for 2 weeks. And there's a couple like videos that were made by Martin and she's like, oh, I forgot to train, you know, and I'm sure she wasn't like not running at all, but she does actually feel superhuman in the way that someone like Michael Phelps, where they've like, I believe they've studied his lung capacity and his lung capacity is like a little better than others. And he, you know, like there's like just things that give him an extra advantage. And so I'm actually wondering how inspiring is it when this person just seems to be doing it so effortlessly when for so many others, it is like a chore to do. Like, is it actually not inspiring or is it daunting? Does it just say this person has something that other people don't because she's completing marathons without going through the rigorous training that other people do?
Well, Andy, that's interesting you bring that up because I think that I'm sure there are a lot of people that would watch this and be thinking that, but close to the end of the film, one of the other, you know, talking heads that they interview throughout the time, there's like a few other runners that they interview along the way that I was not familiar with. I'm not sure if they're vegan or plant-based or not. I think they might just be other renowned runners, but they were interviewing one person and he said something like, you know, some people would say this is genetics and that she is, you know, she has some sort of predisposition to be able to do these things. But I believe that the majority of why she's able to do this is because of her will. And it's because of her drive and her desire, because of this motivation that she has to want to do better for the world, basically for animals specifically and for humans. So I feel like, yes, it's at the very end of the movie. And, you know, it's like if you turn away for a second, you're going to miss it. So it's not like the film was focusing on that. Although, I think from the things that she says, it's like she seems to not really like running. And she says plenty of times that like the thing that keeps me going is this motivation, is trying to get this platform to speak out about these things. So I don't know. I think that the film does kind of shoot that idea down a little bit, that like, I think it does it, or rather I should say it props up the idea that she's able to do this because of her will and her drive.
Now, let me present this to you, Paul. What if she has a genetically superior will?
Then I got nothing for you, Andy. Well, no, I think that, I don't know. It's like, I certainly know people in my life that seem to, you know, seem to be affected by things more than others, you know, are affected by seeing like a video of an animal that's being harmed or those sorts of things. And certainly I don't enjoy watching these things, but it's typically not something that, you know, debilitates me to watch these sorts of things. But when I was watching this, I was like, I bet she is that sort of person that, like, you know, can't watch any sort of graphic footage because it just like affects her probably to her core. And I will say there is no graphic footage in this film. I don't know if we said that, but I feel like she's an example of someone who has that sort of predisposition to be so strongly affected by these things. And she has channeled it into something that like empowers her to move forward and to keep going in these races.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I hope that that is how people read the film. I wish they maybe hammered on that a little bit more, but I do think that this film stock and trade in many regards is subtlety. And, you know, like I said, they really don't push the vegan message. I think honestly, the most you see it is like in some of the shirts that Fiona is wearing in some like archival footage. I would not have minded a bit more of that vegan message, because Paul, if the whole idea is to do these things to draw attention to that message, I feel that this film was not an accomplishment of that, you know? And I guess in theory, there's lots of like news clips out there and articles saying, look at what this vegan just did. But they just showed that one kind of like news interview thing that she did. And it almost feels like the film is too humble and too reserved in pushing its message. And I think that even though I'm sure the incredibly subtle and low key approach that it takes will work for some folks, I think that it could have easily hammered on that just a couple more times and been a much stronger piece of advocacy because of it.
I do agree with you, Andy. I think that they could have, they didn't really, as far as I can remember, they don't really talk about the sanctuary that much. It's more so just like, this is where these people live, so we have a lot of shots of them around the sanctuary, but I don't think they talk about, you know, when they started it, why they started it, how they started it, or any of those other things. And the second thing I want to say is I do agree with you, Andy, that besides the one shot of her on BBC, like her whole thing is to do this to get a platform to be able to talk about these things, and they don't much go into how that works out for her. And Andy, part like some of me believes that it is working out for her because they make they make some references to her having like a following, you know, when it's all those people are sending her those, she has that big room full of the teddy bears and stuff like that, like hundreds of them. So that means she has a following enough and a strong enough following that people are going to be like sending her these things. I don't know if it's, you know, a social media following or a YouTube following or something like that. It seems like she does have some sort of following, and it's possible, and I do wish the movie went into this, it's possible that following is because she was able to catch people's attention because she was breaking these world records and stuff like that. So yeah, I do agree with you that while she says it a lot, I'm doing these things to get this platform, it doesn't show the platform explicitly.
Yeah, and I guess I would just, if this film is to inspire others to do things to elevate their platform to help animals, I guess I would have liked to have seen it show that, yes, this is actually a successful tactic moving forward, because I don't get that this is the impression. This is not the impression that I get from Fiona at all from this film, but we have kind of instituted a policy of like not interviewing people who are doing you know, XYZ athletic feat for the animals, you know. It's just not to say that we never would, but it's just like not something that really like interests us. And I find that generally people do these stunts and they say, I'm doing this to draw attention to the animals. You know, there's a very popular, very, very, very popular cookie stealer out there who got like tattooed for like 24 hours for the sake of like drawing attention to the animals. And perhaps it did, but also you're like getting all tatted up, and that's like a cool thing to do. And it's kind of like I'm proving like how dedicated I am to the animals. And like a lot of those things feel very performative to me. They feel like they really benefit the individual activist in terms of getting their clout up in our scene, but not really drawing attention beyond that. And again, that's not the impression I get from Fiona at all. Fiona seems like a very humble person who probably does not really like any sort of spotlight, but just feels like they're kind of begrudgingly accepting it in order to help animals. That is 100% the vibe I get. But I don't know. It does kind of, to me, it draws attention to the fact that like we get people who are, you know, who email us and they're like, I'm going to climb Mount Everest for the animals. And I want to talk to you about it on the show. And you're like, I mean, I don't know, if you're really wanting to spread this message, you wouldn't go to a vegan podcast where like presumably the vast majority of the audience is vegan. Like, wouldn't you go to your local news station? And maybe they're also doing that. But I guess I'm always really wary of people that are like, I'm doing this extreme thing for the animals to draw attention, because ultimately I feel that so much of the attention comes back to that individual as opposed to the animals.
Maybe this is just because I'm like enamored by her passion and dedication and drive, Andy. And so I am predisposed to like defend her about these sorts of things. But at the very least, it seems like maybe it's even a very small step, but it seems like she's at least thought like one step beyond that. Like, she's not running this race for the animals. She's running this race to get the platform to then do something, like to then talk about the animals issue, you know. And maybe that is a meaningless difference. Like, maybe it's really the same thing, but to me it seems like you were saying, some of the examples you brought up, it's like people are doing these things for them. It seems as though, disclaimer, people are doing these things for themselves and saying it's for the animals. It truly does not feel like she's doing this at all for herself. And in fact, as I've said, and as she says many times, I don't think she enjoys doing these things.
So, well, that actually brings up another interesting point. I don't even know if we're done discussing this thing that I just brought up, but I will say that there are things that are, I would say, negative attitudes that are in this movement are subtly reinforced by aspects of this documentary, in that people sort of push forward that you need to make big sacrifices for the animals. You need to make yourself uncomfortable. You need to potentially put up with like other abusive people or activists or things like that. And you need to put yourself through a great deal of discomfort in order to do your activism, because whatever we go through is so much, it pales in comparison to what the animals go through. And that is kind of like, you know, as I'm watching it, I'm like, I guess, okay, this is the thing that you seem to be naturally good at, and you've decided this is the thing that gets you attention, which you can then use to draw attention to the plight of animals. But as I was watching it, I was like, you know, you don't have to do that, right? Like, I'm sure there's other things that you could do that draw attention to animals, that don't put your body through this, that don't cause you to lose toenails and you know, potentially risk, you know, she says in the documentary, like, one slip would, like, destroy me forever because I don't have the kneecap anymore. And I hate that this is coming across like talking shit on Fiona, because, again, seems like just such a wonderful, lovely person. But I just, I worry that that type of attitude transposed over into everyday activism and people in like nonprofits and things like that, that I see all the time, there is that pervasive attitude that you have to suffer for this. And obviously any social progress probably involves some amount of, definitely involves some amount of sacrifice and perhaps some amount of suffering. But I feel that I see that message used to justify people putting up with lots of stuff they don't necessarily have to.
I, Andy, agree with the sentiment 150%. I think the big difference is in Fiona's position. She is like, or it seems as though from this film, she is completely autonomous in her decision to keep doing this or to not keep doing this. And yes, she like has this drive to continue to do these very difficult things, these grueling tasks, for the benefit of like the goal that she's trying to do. But I think that it's a very different, that's a very different situation than, you know, someone that's a low level employee for a big animal rights organization that is getting that same pressure from their boss. You know, yeah. I think that is 100% a different situation. So while, yes, I do agree with you that I would hope that people don't like translate those two things over to being the same thing, like, wow, look how much she has to deal with, I guess I should just deal with like the abusive situation that I'm in right now. I don't want people to do that at all, but I do think that she has like, she seems to have control over what she decides to do or not to do.
I mean she certainly does, but perhaps she continues to push herself through these really grueling, unpleasant things because she thinks that's the only way she can get the word out about animals.
Yeah, but I mean, it seems from, again, I wish that they showed more of the platform that she gets, but besides showing the BBC thing, it seems like it's working for her if she continues to do it.
Yeah. It's so hard to actually quantify without the documentary actually showing the success from that. But I feel like in terms of discussing like degrees and shades and nuance and all that stuff, what Fiona is doing seems like the best or close to the best possible version of I am doing XYZ for the animals. Like it feels like it's not coerced. It is something that she seems to be naturally good at. And we always talk about use what your natural talents are, what your natural like drives and hobbies and motivations and skills are to help animals. So it does seem like it's sort of a good exhibit of that.
Andy, do you think this is like a good comparison to her would be someone like your Patrick Babaumians that, you know, go to break those world records for the like most weight carried for 10 meters or whatever it was. And then they get all this sort of, you know, articles written about them and that, and they use that to promote their message. Like he seems like someone that, I don't know why, maybe it's just because the running community doesn't have as many, you know, rock stars as the bodybuilding or the fitness or power lifting community, strongman community, I guess is what he would be in. But like, do you think that that's kind of like a good analogy to her?
I don't know. I mean, certainly Patrick seems like someone that revels in the spotlight a bit more, but also I guess that's just the game that you have to play. If that's your route, is like, I'm using my body as a billboard and my personal achievements as a billboard for what's possible on a plant-based diet. It seems like you, in order to play that game successfully, you probably have to be someone that enjoys the limelight and knows how to use it and work it and be charismatic and all of those things. And so, I don't know, maybe that isn't a game that Fiona is playing particularly well or wants to play. And maybe it's not necessary. I'm not sure. But it feels like if that's, I need publicity, I need a platform to help animals, it feels like that's kind of the game you have to play.
I guess one big difference is that Patrick Babaumian seems to not, I don't know to what extent, but seems to be promoting the idea that like, if you eat a plant-based diet, you're going to be stronger, you know, like that sort of yeah, idea, more than, at least more so than Fiona.
Well, can I tell you another big difference between them?
Yes.
This is the first time I've ever seen Fiona Oaks in a documentary. And I've seen Patrick so many times, and watching this, I'm like, I know why, because she's a woman, but like her achievements are so monumentally impressive, like mind-blowingly impressive. Like the fact that she is not plastered all over every single one of these athletic performance documentaries that we've reviewed is I mean, I don't want to say shocking, but it's shocking to me because I'm like, what? you know, like this is, again, they make a point of saying this in Running for Good, that she like doesn't look like the standard athlete, you know, and to be like, look at this regular person achieving monumental things. Like, if you're going to play that game, why wouldn't you feature Fiona Oakes in your documentary, aside from the fact that she's not like a young, like ripped, you know, jerk or whatever?
Yeah, and Andy, that's, you know, because in a lot of the health-based documentaries or athlete-based documentaries, they do include your Scott Jurek and your Rich Rolls as well, who, and of course, not to take away the stuff that they've done, which is also like monumental as well, but it's the same idea, right? Like what they're in the same, I guess, although I don't think, like you said, I don't even think she considers herself in the running community, but like, certainly that's like, that is the realm of what she is doing. And yeah, you're absolutely right, Andy. Like, why wouldn't, if you're going to include your Scott Jurek and your Rich Roll, why wouldn't you also include Fiona Oakes?
You know, and like, I'm not someone that really cares about like the athletic community. I'm only familiar with so many of these figures because they are in so many documentaries we do. And obviously they're just sort of in and around the vegan scene or the plant-based eating scene. But I know so little about Fiona, aside from the fact that we've gotten emails about her and people saying, hey, you should review this film. To me, it points out such a glaring like inequality in the focus. Like, I'm thinking about like Paul, Game Changers. Game Changers, right? Remember we talked, that was skewed so heavily male. And yeah, the fact, I think Paul, maybe we'll fact check this later, but like, I think I had read that she was initially going to be a part of it and then wasn't. I'm not entirely sure, but it just feels like it's so weird that she's not included in all of these things. And like, I know, Paul, you gave me a hard time for some other documentaries where they have like the athletic person is really not that impressive. And I'm like, if you're going to have one person, why would it be this person? And I'm like, when Fiona Hooks is out there, why are you interviewing the guy that like didn't even qualify for the Olympics or something? You know, I'm just like, I just like, come on.
It's any it, like, yes, no, I do agree with you that there is probably sexism involved in why this is the case. But I think it's also possible she does not want to do these things. Like, it would not surprise me, just from what I've seen of her, if she does not want that.
But that's the platform.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah.
That's just kind of like, is that your strategy or not? You know, it'd be hard for me to imagine that she, if like Jim Cameron came up and was like, we're going to feature you, that she would say, nah, I'm feeling kind of shy right now. But I don't know, maybe that's the case. Maybe that's the case, but it just doesn't feel like that's congruent with the strategy, the tactic that has been laid forth in this documentary.
Do you think when they approached her about this film and she saw executive producer James C, and then she said, no, I already turned him down. And then they're like, no, James Cromwell. And she's like, oh, okay, I'll do it then.
That'll do, pig. Paul, can I tell you something that I really liked about this film?
Yes.
Percy.
Oh, is that the little bear?
Little stuffed bear. So I like Percy because I think it's a good example of what I view as a really, if your jam is having conversations with strangers about this stuff, it's a tactic that I find to be very helpful, which is, it's obviously like why I sell like vegan shirts and buttons and things like that. And like specifically, I have a button that you can get that says, ask me why I'm vegan. And it's rare that I actually will wear that button. But like when I do, I find that it's really great. If I'm like in that mood to have those kind of advocacy conversations, that it really changes the dynamic when someone asks you about it, as opposed to you pushing it on them and then like, stop shoving it down my throat. It's like they ask you, they're inviting the conversation. Doesn't mean it's going to go well all the time, but I find that like having the thing that gets the person to inquire where they're inviting the conversation, it totally changes the tone of the conversation. Mm-hmm. So I wish she kind of went into this a little bit more, but she said, you know, she has Percy on her running pack or whatever, and people say, what's the deal with that bear? And then she talks about the animals and stuff like that. To me, I love that that was, I think, a really effective little tip for how you can engage people in conversation, or rather have them engage you in conversation. I thought that that was just such a delightful little thing that I never really see addressed in these types of documentaries.
You know, she also had the, I think they're called the bibs, like the running bibs with the, they usually have like the numbers on them. She had one on her backpack that was for her animal sanctuary, like a big old advertisement for the sanctuary. And there's one shot in the desert where one of the other runners, I think like very brief, very quickly, like asked her like, oh, what is that? And she's like, oh, it's an animal sanctuary. And the guy's like, oh, animals. And then they kind of, I forget if she walks away or they cut away from the shot, but I was like, oh man, I wish that they showed more of that, because that was exactly what you're talking about, Andy. It's something that she was just wearing this thing in order to invite these conversations about something that she's passionate about.
Yeah, and I mean, the more we talk about this, Paul, the more that feels like the biggest flaw in this film is that it doesn't actually, it doesn't assume the form of the activism that she's doing, which is creating a platform for her to talk about these issues. Maybe the hope is that people are like, oh, Fiona is pretty great, I'm going to go follow her on Facebook. And that's where she like makes her posts about it. So it doesn't do that, nor does it act as a demonstration that the tactic is actually working within, you know, within the world of this documentary. And to me, that feels like a big flaw in this film. For as delightful as it was, for as wonderful as it was to just like watch a documentary about someone that just seems like a good, wholesome human being that has really good motivations, it felt like that was the 15 minutes that was missing from making this like a full 90-minute documentary, you know, that they could have gone in on that and demonstrated it. And instead, I think it's basically just like, we hope runners watch this and happen to pick up on the vegan message. You know, that's kind of the tactic. It's a very low key tactic. And I wish that it was a bit more heavy handed or a bit more explanatory about all the things we've been talking about.
And, you know, Andy, I think the one big example where they do say like, ah, yes, this is her platform, is when after she was running in the North Pole, right?
Or, mm-hmm.
Yeah, after she was running. After she was running there, she came back and got invited on the BBC. And that's kind of like the one big example they give of like, this is how her, what she's working towards, this is how it paid off. But even in that example, they talk about how the BBC told her, you can't talk about veganism. And she still slips it in there. But like, I wish you included other examples where it was something that ended up like being a platform where you could talk about these things, because I'm sure she's probably had articles written about her. I'm sure she's probably been on like smaller, you know, stations than the BBC. Maybe she's gotten interviewed in like local places, but even if you could have shown some of those where she does explain more to the general public, not just to the camera crew, you know, why she's doing these things, I think that would have been nice.
Yeah, that like BBC appearance was very lackluster. Like it was kind of great because it was like, yeah, she was able to get it in there even when they said not to. But then it was just like, and the hosts were just kind of like blank and didn't really respond to it, you know. And you're like, okay, so I guess, yes, in theory, lots of people saw that and were like, oh yeah, she does it because vegan. But it wasn't like a great example of it being particularly successful. And I don't doubt the strategy necessarily, that it could have some merits, but I also feel like as a movement, we kind of have this problem of assuming all activism is good activism and everything is working because something was achieved, but not necessarily what we want to be achieved. So it'd be like, oh yeah, she runs and does really well in order to like help animals. And you're like, well, she did really well, so she helped animals. And it's like, well, there's kind of that like last step. There's step three or four that isn't really pictured there, but it's still someone being hailed as being really successful and a great activist when there isn't necessarily proof of that. And not that like all activism can be quantified and measured and proved out like that. But to me, this feels like a really clear example where, at least as far as the film goes, it doesn't actually show her achieving any success in terms of the activism, or minimal success, at least.
Yeah. Andy, I just quickly like Googled her to kind of see what were the first few links that came up. And one of the first ones is on the ForksOverKnives.com page. It has like a little bio of her. Also, she's a firefighter, apparently, which they did not mention at all, which is just like, yep, that checks out, I guess, being a superhuman.
I don't really like fighting fires, but I guess I'll do it on the weekend.
But also, apparently, there's a short documentary called For the Animals that's about her. It's 20 minutes long. Mm. Maybe that goes into more about her stuff. Although, on the Forks Over Knives page, when they talk about that little For the Animals documentary short, it says, Fiona runs to prove that a plant-based diet is not prohibitive to performance. And I feel like that's not why she runs. Like, I feel like that is a byproduct of her running and doing these things. But I feel like she's not running to prove that vegans can do this thing. She's running to get a platform to talk about the issues, you know?
I mean, like I said, in the documentary, it was her partner, Martin, there. But he, you know, he said she wants to show people what is possible. And so they can understand that their lives, which are way less rigorous, can also do it, you know? So I think it's in there. I think it's both.
I suppose.
So Paul, I think that's pretty much all I really have to say about this film. I think that, as happens so often when we discuss films, even ones that we generally like overall, we really get mired down in kind of picking apart the imperfections of things or things that we wish were improved upon. And I do kind of want to reemphasize that in general, I found this to be a very delightful watch. It gave me insight into this race that I've never, you know, had any idea about before. And Paul, let me say, I'm not a runner at all, but I am a hiker. Mm-hmm. And one time I was passing through, I think it's New Mexico, and I went to the White Sands National Park, which is just like a bunch of white sand, like sand dunes. Yeah. And you can do hikes there, but it's essentially just walking from like one marker to the next, going up and down these sand dunes. And just going up these like 20-foot high sand dunes was the most taxing, grueling, made me feel like I'm in the, like, have never hiked in my life before experience. And thinking about people doing like 100 whatever miles of that, I forget, this film wasn't kilometers. I can't do that kind of math, Paul. I was just like, in like, even if that entire distance was just walking straight in sand, it would be a feat of human endurance. And they're like hiking and going up and down dunes and things like that. It's pretty phenomenal.
And then she's like jogging after going up and down dunes for like a full day. It's like, oh yeah. And then after you've gone up and down these, like, this treacherous volcanic dunes, then you have to run 2 full marathons. And it's like, good Lord.
So it gave me an insight into a human experience that I've just had no idea even existed. And I appreciate that. I also, we didn't really touch on this, but I appreciated that Fiona also mentioned like human suffering around the world as well. Like, seems like someone that takes a pretty holistic approach to their activism. And I appreciated that. And so I think that it's a great film. It's very well put together. It's just not a vegan advocacy film. And I think that a lot of the stuff that we pick apart and pull apart are not necessarily going to be the big takeaways for a lot of folks. But I think that they could perhaps reinforce some negative, you know, ideas in this movement. I hope that's not the case. But, you know, this definitely, for as much as I enjoyed it, it really just flew right by. It's not a film that I'm really going to recommend to people unless they're a runner or they're already curious in this. But it's not going to be in like, watch these 5 films and go vegan. It's not going to make it to that collection.
I don't think it's going to make it to that collection for me either. Although I wouldn't stray away from recommending this just to be like, hey, do you want to see like an inspiring movie about someone that like is a very wholesome person and just, you know, is really has their heart, I believe, in the right place. So in that sense, I'm like, this is kind of nice to watch in these, in like this time where we just get a lot of bad news all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. No. And Paul, it's funny because even though I feel like it doesn't have as much in like the net gain column as for animals as some documentaries, it certainly has way less in the net like loss. Mm-hmm. You know, there's so many documentaries that push hard for veganism and they have all sorts of issues, and to the point where I almost struggle to recommend or even to feel like I have to dissuade people from watching it. And this film doesn't do that. I don't think it's going to do any big damage whatsoever. again, it's a nice watch.
Oh yeah. So if you saw it or if you didn't see it, we don't judge. Let us know what you think. Send in those emails to thebeardedvegans@gmail.com. Don't forget to also get those mailbag submissions in within the next couple weeks. So I think that's all we got for today's episode, Andy. As usual, this mini episode approaching 1 hour.
Getting up there. Of course, I have no events coming up, but if you would like to support me, you can go to compassionco.com to pick up a vegan shirt or the aforementioned Ask Me Why I'm Vegan button. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I'm getting close to my 3-day symptom-free mark in which I will begin shipping shirts out again. You could also get a Beard Vegan shirt there, or you can support the podcast by going to thebeardvegans.com/beardo.
Nice.
And in the meantime, Paul, I think the reason that this film is only an hour and 14 and not like a solid hour and a half was because there's actually 16 minutes of Fiona Oakes just saying the following 7 words.
We are the Bearded Vegans, signing off.
So as we kind of, I guess, build ourselves back up from our hectic time. Well, let me start that all over again. At 250 kilometers. Goddamn.
Yeah, Andy, what was I going to say? I had something to say, but it doesn't really make sense to say it now. They go to Rich Roll is narrating it, and then oh my god, why can't I think of the last guy's
Scott
name?
Scott Jurek.
Then Scott Jurek, thank you. And so it's like, yeah, they have Scott Jurek and oh my god, what's wrong with me? I just said his name.
Rich Roll.
Thank you. Yeah.
Well, so that brings up another interesting point. Let me close this window real quick.
Yeah.
A lot of birds expressing joy outside this window.
That brings up another interesting point. I will go close this window. So send in those email. I'm just going to start over. Sorry, Andy. I'm sorry. Do you want to throw something else at me? I have nothing else on this thread.
Yeah, no, I have no other points to bring up.
Andy, you said you had some other. Did you have any other nits to pick? You said you had a few of them.
I just said I have nothing else to bring up, Paul.